those disciples on that day in Jerusalem, or even just for those first readers of Mark's gospel, perhaps in Rome or in Antioch or one of the other early churches. This is a message for everyone, including us here at Harborne Baptist Church on Advent Sunday 2017. Jesus says to us, watch. Well, what on earth does that mean? Now, traditionally, Advent is a season of watching and of waiting. And we start Advent today. If you have a chocolate Advent calendar, you perhaps started Advent on Friday. And this idea of waiting has really caught on, hasn't it, at Advent? This sort of countdown clock to a big event that is going to happen. I don't know if you've seen any of the luxury Advent calendars on sale. Let's have a look at one or two of them. This one, probably my favorite, actually. This is the Hot Wheels Advent calendar, although you only actually get 8 cars, little toy cars in these. But they're on sale. They're actually only £12, so it's not too luxury. But how about this one, the second one? This is Fortnum and Mason, and this is made of wood. And so you have it. It's only chocolates and sweets still, but it costs you £125 because it is solid wood. That's another option that you might go for. Or how about this one? This is the Liberty sort of cosmetics store, and you get a different beauty product each day. That would cost you about £175. And for just a few pounds more, you could have this one, a little bottle of something each day during Advent. I think Mike's got one of those. He's waving at me. But if you really wanted luxury, well, this is the luxury option. This is the Porsche Advent calendar. And there are only 5 in the world. And on day 12, you get a yacht. It will cost you $1 million for the Advent calendar. But there are some quite good stuff in there, including, I presume, a car at some point. What would Jesus have made of these luxury Advent calendars? I'm not sure. But maybe there is something here in this sense of excitement, of looking forward, of anticipating what is to come as we light this candle this morning. I don't know if you followed the news this week. There were, on Monday, news of the Chennai Six. These are six ex-British soldiers who were arrested in India in 2013. They've spent 4 years in prison. They were on a ship doing anti-piracy work, protecting other ships, and the Indian Coast Guard arrested them and charged them with weapons possession, and they've been fighting for 4 years to clear their names. And finally, this past Monday, they were released from prison. And I heard on the radio an interview with one of the partners of these soldiers, and she talked about her son, or their son, 3.5 years old, had never met his dad because he'd been in prison. And as we heard about that, the sense of watching and waiting, the expected homecoming, the long-awaited reunion, the first meeting of father and son. Something there, perhaps, about watching and the emotional pull of that story. And if we're talking about the news this past week, you can hardly have failed to notice the royal wedding. Did anybody see that announced on Monday? Prince Harry is getting married. And there is a lot of anticipation about this event. And whatever you make of the hype around it, there's no doubt attention will build and speculation and excitement will build. It will literally be unavoidable for these next 6 months. There is a wedding, it is coming, and we are bound to hear all about it. So luxury Advent calendars, the Chennai Six, these soldiers just released, and a royal wedding. Well, each one, I think, says something about what it means to watch and wait. But what does Mark 13 have to say into our world of luxury Advent calendars, international court cases, and celebrity weddings? What does it mean for us here today to live in our highly connected modern world and hear Jesus say to us, watch? Well, I'd like to suggest that we look at this passage and just look at two sections. Firstly, verses 24 to 31, and then verses 32 to 37. And if you manage to pick up one of these blue inserts in the welcome sheet, that's a guide about where we're going. And feel free, if you want to, write or use that in any way if it's helpful for you. So what does it mean to watch for us today? Well, we look first at verses 24 to 31. I don't know if as May was reading these words, you noticed. This is quite strange language. This is quite a difficult passage to get our heads around. Jesus quotes some words from Isaiah chapter 13 in verses 24 and 25. And this kind of language is found in books like Daniel and Ezekiel and Zechariah and Revelation, language about the end times, the apocalyptic books of the Bible. And part of the reason we find it hard to understand is because of the subject matter. If you look at verse 26, Jesus says this: at that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And it's hard for our minds to even get a grasp on what Jesus is speaking about here, because he is speaking about that day when he will return. And we struggle to understand what that means and how we can picture that. And perhaps in light of that difficulty, one of the things that people have done with this passage and others is to end up obsessing over the end times. So I want to suggest that is one misconception that we would do well to avoid here. Don't obsess over the end times. In other words, let's not spend our time poring over current affairs and the news to find signs of the second coming of Jesus, to the extent that we barely get anything else done. But you can see why people do turn to this passage and end up spending a lot of time thinking down that direction. We see verses 26 and 27, Jesus speaking about his coming again, the Son of Man. We understand that is Jesus. And then in verse 28, we read these words. Verse 28. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. And here's the key verse, verse 29. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, says Jesus, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. So do these verses here mean that we can read the sign of the times? Do they mean that we can predict confidently when Jesus is going to return? Do those who come up with a date and a time, are they right to do that? Well, it all hinges, doesn't it, on what these things in verse 29 refers to. When you see these things happening, you know the end is near. And here's where we might need to go back in the chapter earlier to verses 7 or 8 to see what these things means. Jesus says in verse 7, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, nations rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes and famines. Well, we don't have to look far, do we, in our newspapers or on our news bulletins to find these things happening. And does that mean then that Jesus is about to come back? Well, I think if we look at verse 30 again, we're going to be made a bit clearer. Verse 30, Jesus says, truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. So we have two choices. All these things, what does that mean? Did Jesus get that wrong when he said all these things must happen before this generation these people standing in front of me have died. Before they die, all these things will happen. What is going on? 2,000 years after Jesus spoke, and he still has not returned. So I think we can't think that these things mean things that will happen before Jesus returns. Actually, I think the best explanation is that throughout this chapter, Jesus is talking about two different events. He's talking about the fall of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple. And that did happen in 70 AD, less than a generation after Jesus spoke. And that's, remember, where the chapter began, in verses 1 and 2. Jesus warned them in verse 2, "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. This temple will be destroyed. And this will happen before this generation has passed away." Jesus' disciples could be fairly confident of predicting that event. And that's, I think, what verse 29 refers to. When you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. He's speaking to those first Christians. They could expect the temple destruction to happen imminently. But our confusion today is that there's another event in Jesus' mind, and that is the day when Jesus will return again, the end times as we speak of them, the day when, in verse 24, the sun will be darkened, the moon won't give its light, the stars will fall from the sky. And that day, no one will mistake, no one will miss. There'll be no question of being deceived or fooled on that day, because Jesus will return in clouds with great power and glory. There's no fear that we might miss it. This will be an unmissable event. And verse 32, and this is important, verse 32, Jesus says, "But about that day," I think the day that he returns, "about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." The final day, Jesus' return, no one knows when that day will be. No amount of scrutinizing signs or looking for symbols or praying will unveil that secret. Is Jesus coming back soon? Maybe. We cannot know. Watching, I think, does not mean obsessing over the end time, spending all of our time trying to predict or piece together theories that will enable us to say when the end times will come. And I know that's difficult to get our heads around, but there is a positive point here I think we can take, and that is the call to watch. It doesn't mean obsessing over when Jesus might come. It does mean staying alert to what God is doing now. When we saw the video of Gemma speaking about her time in Bangladesh, there's a line that she spoke which I absolutely love. She said, "I see God at work every day." Do you notice that? I see God at work every day. And testimonies like Gemma's and passages like Mark 13 remind us that God is at work in his world in the first century and today. And Jesus here is reassuring his followers that no matter what happens, no matter what disasters befall their nation, he is in control and God is at work. And on that final day when Jesus returns in power and in glory, he will gather his people from the four winds, in verse 27, from the ends of the earth, Jesus will gather his people. It's in his hands. So Jesus says this morning to us, to you and me, watch. Not to get stuck in to obsessions about the end times, but to be alert and aware of what God is doing. And that's our Advent challenge this year, to be alert, to stay alert to what God is doing. Or secondly, and more briefly, verses 32 to 37. There's a second misconception which I think is quite dangerous for us as we think about what it means to watch. And it's this: don't observe from the sidelines. When we hear that, someone says to us, watch, we might think, oh, does that mean we can sit back, choose the comfy chair, settle in, and relax? Is that what Jesus means? Well, let's look at verses 32 down to 37. Verse 33, listen to this language. Be on guard. Be alert. Verse 34, be on watch. Keep watch at the door. Verse 35, therefore, keep watch. This is much more active than passive. This is not about sitting back and relaxing, not about observing from the sidelines, not about being a sports fan snoozing away on the couch in front of the TV. Actually, last year, one of Jacob's football team, a girl called Lottie, her dad, Lottie's dad, when he was watching the football, he would very much play the game on the sidelines. He would be up and down the sideline. He would shout the entire game. He was probably the loudest, the most energetic observer I've ever seen anywhere. And when the referee called the fouls the other way, borderline offensive. But he was certainly not a passive observer. He was involved in what was happening. And this parable which Jesus tells in verse 34 puts that in this way. Jesus says, it's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. And we see that picture, Jesus as the house owner about to go away. And when we remember that in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14 sees Jesus eating a Last Supper, going to the Garden of Gethsemane, being arrested, tried, convicted, and then crucified. Jesus is about to go away. He's about to leave. And as he leaves, he puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells them to keep watch, to be ready for his return. Watching isn't a passive activity observed from the sidelines. Watching for Jesus is active, is involved, is about fulfilling the tasks that we've been given by the Master, because we know he is returning. So if watching is not observing from the sidelines, it's actively fulfilling our God-given purpose. It's doing what God has created for us to do now, in expectation that he is coming back. And this morning, friends, it raises the question for me, and I hope for you: what is the assigned task that God has given me, has given us? Do you know what it is that God has made you to do? What is it that makes you come alive? What is it that God has created you to do with your life? Watching is about doing that. Finding it and doing it. And the answers to that question could be as varied as we are as individuals. It could be parenting a child. It could be grandparenting a child. It could be our work, our professional life. It could be in our prayers for others. It could be in visiting those who are lonely. It could be in arranging flowers. It could be sharing kind words. What is it that God has made you to do, that he wants you to do? What is your task, your purpose? And the challenge that I want to leave you with you for this Advent is this: if you don't know what is your purpose in life, why not take this Advent period and deliberately be praying and seeking God to say, what is it? Jesus says in verse 34, you can come back to this verse. Jesus says, he leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task. What is your assigned task? Let's look for it this Advent season. And friends, that's not something we do just in church, just on a Sunday or a Wednesday morning or evening. Verse 35, you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn. And if those mentions sort of spark any thoughts in your mind, you're doing well, but that's deliberate because Mark is about to go on in Mark's gospel to evening when Jesus went to the room, the upper room for the Last Supper. Midnight, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and the disciples are unable to keep watch. The cock crows as Peter denies Jesus. As dawn breaks, the women go to the tomb. Evening, midnight, cock crow, dawn. Watching means fulfilling our purpose, whatever time of day it is. Not only when it's easy, but when it's hard. Under pressure, in unexpected places, at midnight, when others are around to see us and encourage us, and when we're completely by ourselves. Jesus says, watch. Keep watch in all your living, in your resting, your working, your shopping, your talking, your traveling, and your staying, in your praying, and your playing. Live all of this in light of Jesus returning. And I found this definition of watching this week. It's on the bottom of your handouts, if you can see those. Somebody wrote this: watching is living the now in the light of the then. Living the now in light of the then. That is, living today, recognizing that Jesus is coming again. And what changes when we do that? What might change if we began believing and acting on that? Behaviors, attitudes, thoughts, priorities, the direction of our lives, perhaps. Living the now in light of the then. So Jesus this morning says to us, to all of us, what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. It's about waiting. It's about the expectation and the excitement and the anticipation of those million-dollar Advent calendars. But it's not about obsessing over the end times, looking for those symbols and signs. It's about staying alert to what God is doing now in your life and in mine. Watching is not about passively sitting back and observing, watching others perhaps doing things. But it's about positively and actively discovering and then fulfilling the purpose that God has given us individually to do. And so this morning, this Advent Sunday, how are we going to respond to God? How will we respond to this call to watch? And even from the conversations I've had this morning at church, it's clear. Advent, a period of waiting and watching, is often one of the busiest periods of the year. Isn't that ironic? There's so much to prepare. There's shopping, there's cooking, there's Christmas cards, there's concerts, there's events, there's carol services, family and friends to catch up with, plans to organize, and often this period, which is intended to be about watching and waiting, becomes about rushing and worrying. We hear Jesus this morning say to us, watch. Watch. It's an invitation, isn't it, this Advent, to watch. And there's some space here at church to do that, if it's helpful. Wednesday morning for our Advent group. Wednesday night for our prayer meeting. These Christmas services that we're advertising on these cards. How will we here and a respond to Jesus' call today. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. We've lit a candle this morning. We don't often light candles in this church, but we have today. The candle of hope. And it's over there. It's a visual aid for us, isn't it? It flickers in the moving air. It doesn't look very strong or powerful compared to the sun or even the projector bulb. But what does it represent? It represents hope. The hope that Jesus will return. And in the story, in the parable Jesus told, there's no doubt that the house owner will return. There's a question over when, but there's no doubt over the fact. Jesus said, keep watch, because you do not know when he will return. When, not if, but when. And we're going to come in a moment to our closing hymn for this morning. It's an old one. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. And it's the love of Jesus that means that this is hope and not fear. Because we're talking about Jesus coming again. And the reason that is not a scary prospect is because we know the love of Jesus. So can I leave you with this handout, this piece of paper to take away? And this week, at some point in the week, to find a moment where you can think about that question in the box. This Advent, how is God challenging you to live the now in light of the then? And maybe that will be quite specific for you, something that comes up, maybe more generally. If you would like to pray with somebody about that, there are several of us who would be pleased to pray with you after the service. But let's make sure we find that time this Advent to pause and to be alert to what God is doing.